I bet somebody this morning can tell me what two words describe our goal for this year. What are we doing? Actively pursuing. All right. You guys improved by 100% from last week. I love it. I love it. Someone should make a t-shirt. You volunteer your dad to make the t-shirt? I do too. I second that. All in favor of Ben making t-shirts? Excellent. Excellent. They'll be on sale for $50 a piece. The premium cotton. Hey, there's a youth fundraiser. So, they won't be 50. Make them 20 or 25. We'll buy t-shirts, pay for some of the gas for all the youth events you got to take them to. There we go. Youth fundraiser. Love it. Actively pursuing. It's from Philippians 3. All right. I am so glad that you are here today. Whew. All right. Let's go to our Father in prayer. And then we are going to get in the Word and figure out how to do this a little bit better this week. Heavenly Father, you are our goal. And we are so thankful that you sent us Jesus to show us what that goal looks like, to let us see how it works in your world and in your creation. And we praise your holy name because you saw fit to die for us, to save us from our sins, to allow us to be in your presence. Father, we praise your name. You are glorified in our lives above everything else because you're the source of everything. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And I pray that as we look in your scripture today, I pray that we will see you clearer. I pray that we will actively pursue you in all things. I pray, Lord, that there will be so much of you in our lives that there will be room for nothing else. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in our active pursuit of Jesus Christ, there is a word that we're going to take a look at this morning that will be very helpful for us to understand. Those of you taking notes, the Greek is pronounced pleroma. Pleroma. If you're going to spell it out in English, P-L-A-Y-R-O-M-A. Pleroma. Pleroma is a Greek word that describes or is defined by fullness. Fullness. Being full. To the brim. Complete. I mean, just everything that you can fit in it is there. As we actively pursue Christ, this word pleroma, fullness, is going to help us understand where we are, and it's going to help us understand what we are working towards. Now, the great thing about God is that God loves to fill completely. He loves to fill completely. And in fact, it is his nature to fill space completely. So often and so many times that you and I stumble in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk, by just trying to take a little bit of God. God, if you can just help me a little bit in this area. God, if you can just, you know, give me a little relief, or if you can just give me a little bit of healing or a little bit of help, just, you know, give me just enough. And we come together. We come together and we worship and we praise and we live and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you just enough. Just enough that I can stay comfortable. Just enough that I can be in control. Just enough that I can do what I really want to do. So if you'll give me just enough, I will give you just enough. But church, God is not about just enough. God is about filling completely. And that's what we're going to take hold of today. Okay? Let's go all the way back to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. A couple of quick Old Testament examples. Because this is what God does. God fills completely. He leaves no room for anything else. At the very last page in your Bible for the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 40. The tabernacle is built, this tent that God's people would, they brought all the parts together, they build the thing, and then they are traveling around the wilderness, and wherever they would stop for the night, or for the week, or for the weekend, or the month, they would bring this tent up, and that would be God's place. That would be where he would be. And once they get this thing all built up, I want you to hear what the scripture says to us about them. This is in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So God tells his people, hey, I want you to make this space for me, okay? Because I want to be with you. I want to be close to you. I want to guide your every step. I want you to remember me every single day. I want you to have something that you can look at and know I am there. And so they follow his instructions and they make the tabernacle and they've got it all built up. And then the cloud that had been following them before in God's presence comes and fills the tabernacle and overcomes the tabernacle. And it is so full of the presence of God, there was no room for even who? Moses! He couldn't even be in there anymore. There is so much God in the tabernacle that Moses has to take a step back. He can't be in there. Hang on to that. Okay? Hang on to that. Let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 8 is between 7 and 9. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, here we go. Later, after they get settled, it's time to build a more permanent house. So God has brought them to their place, and now they no longer need a tent. Now they need a more permanent structure, right? So, who was in charge of building that permanent structure? Solomon, right? Solomon. Solomon, because David wanted to, David said, "Whoo, God, you are so good, I'm going to build you a house." And God said, no, you're a great songwriter. Man, you can kill people with the best of them. So, no, that's not your job. That's not your ministry. I'll let Solomon do it. So Solomon does. And Solomon builds his temple for God. And here we have in 1 Kings chapter 8, let's go down to verse 10 and see what happens. 8:10. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. All right, so the house is built, the presence of God comes into the house that they have built for him, and who can no longer be in the house? The priests. They can't fit. They can't fit because the glory of God is so big, so complete, he fills the space so that there's room for nothing else. The church, this is big, okay? This, when we get into the New Testament and we see this word and better understand pleroma, we understand the act of God to fill a space, to fill it completely. I mean, just, you know, you and I like to think of things as, oh, bursting at the seams. I got no room for anything else. Usually it's our lives and our schedule, right? I don't have the bandwidth to take on anything else because I've got work and I got family and I got, you know, just maybe a little bit of quiet time. And I've got all these things that I fill my day with and I just don't have room to put anything else in. Well, Scripture tells us when God has a place to be, that God fills it completely. There is no room for the people here because the glory of the Lord fills completely. Church, it should be our goal that as we use the vessel that we have been given, that we call our life, our goal should be that it is so completely filled with the Lord that there is no room for anything in it. but Him. There is no room for there's no room for my past in my life anymore. There is no room for my sin in my life anymore. And when I get there, there's no room even for me in my life anymore, because I am completely filled with Him. That's our goal. That's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I gotta forget what's behind, and I'm gonna press on. What's my goal? My goal is actively pursuing. My goal is actively pursuing to be filled with God. To be filled with God. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2, because now we're going to see. First, we're going to see how Jesus fits into all of this, and then we're going to see how you and I can get closer to this goal. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says about Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it then that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So Paul gives, he's about to give some big truth here, okay? And so he warns us, careful who you're listening to. Careful who you're listening to, because the world is going to lie to you, and it's going to tell you things that are not true, but you need to listen to Jesus. You need to listen to Jesus and only Jesus. Okay, I'm ready. This sounds important. I'm on board. What are you going to put on me, Paul? What are you going to let me have? And then he says in verse 9, for in Him, who's the Him? This is Christ. In Christ, the whole fullness, pleroma, of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. All right. So if you are spiritually discerning, I hope you got a little piece of that. Paul explains for us what happened in the life of Jesus. Okay? Why we follow Jesus, why we trust in Jesus, why we listen to Jesus. Why? Because in His body, in His vessel that God gave Him, the entire pleroma, the fullness of God dwelled. So church, when you and I are following the example of Jesus, we're like, oh hey, you should be more like Jesus, right? We all want to be more like Jesus. Well, what we see in Jesus is a life lived here on earth completely filled with the dwelling of God. Okay, so now I have the tabernacle. God's presence fills it. There's room for nothing else. They build the temple. God's presence fills it. There's room for nothing else. And now we have Jesus come from the presence of God into this world, and He is completely filled with God's presence. There is room for nothing else. So in the life of Jesus Christ, as you and I look to Him, we see the fullness of God. We see our goal. As we are actively pursuing Christ. Why are we following Christ? Because Christ is completely filled with God. 100%. There wasn't room for anything else. All of God dwelled in Him. And dwelled in Him so completely, nothing else could get in. And so when we look at the faith of Jesus, when we look at the hope of Jesus and the trust of Jesus and the obedience of Jesus and the beauty of Jesus and the love of Jesus and everything that we see in the life of Jesus, we see that this is God filling Him up completely. That's a worthy goal. That's a worthy goal. That is our goal. In our active pursuit, you and I are wanting and hoping and striving to be filled completely with God. Jesus would say about himself in Hebrews chapter 10, just a quick one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews 10, 5 says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. He comes to earth and he says, look, Father, I know it's really not about killing the lamb and it's really not about killing the goat and that's really not what you're all about. What you're all about is the fact that you have given me a vessel. You have given me a body to live a certain number of years in your creation. And what you really want from me is to willingly give you this vessel and be filled with you. That's what Jesus recognized. That was his purpose. That was his point. That was his life. And that's what we are pursuing. We are pursuing the example of Jesus of being filled completely with God. Pleroma. Pleroma. Completely filled. Now, what has happened to us and for us because of Jesus being completely filled? Turn over to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 16, John chapter 1, verse 16, we get a glimpse of this fullness. John 1, 16 says, for from his fullness, pleroma, because Jesus is 100% filled with the presence of God. That's where what he has done for us comes from. Okay? And that's why that word fullness is in there. That's what we're talking about. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The fullness of God dwells in the body of Jesus, and from the body of Jesus, you and I receive grace. That's what the fullness of God in the life of Jesus has done for us. And our active pursuit, and I love this, because a lot of times when we start thinking about actively pursuing Christ and trying to be like Jesus, a lot of times we get discouraged, don't we? Because we know the life of Jesus. We know, we read about what he did and what he does, and we say, well, I can't do that. I can't be 100% filled. I can't be filled up with the presence of God in my life because I stumble, I fall, I make a mistake, I say things I shouldn't, I do things I shouldn't. And I look at me and I look at Jesus and I don't see Jesus. And now I'm discouraged. Well, I can't be completely filled. Well, if I can't reach my goal, is it even worth trying? Well, the wonderful thing about this is, church, this also keeps us out of the trap of actively pursuing Christ for the purpose of salvation. We are not actively pursuing Jesus Christ and the fullness of God in hopes of our salvation. We have already received grace upon grace because the fullness of God dwells in Jesus Christ. So you and I are not actively pursuing salvation. Salvation is ours. We've been crucified with Christ. We have been washed of our sins. You and I are clean. You and I have been emptied out of everything evil in our lives. You and I have been emptied out, cleared out of everything bad, everything in our past, everything that we have done, everything that has been done to us. Grace upon grace from the fullness of God, that is our gift. That's what we have. So my active pursuit of Christ is never, ever, ever so that, oh, well, maybe I will pursue him strong enough and powerfully enough and faithful enough so that he'll look at me and say, okay, now I can save you. Mm-mm. We are actively pursuing the life of Christ from a place of salvation. Grace upon grace. Now that I've been cleaned, now that I've been forgiven, I am not actively pursuing in hopes that I will be forgiven. I am forgiven, so now I can actively pursue being filled with the presence of God. That's my pursuit. That's my pursuit. That there will not be Michael to speak of, but that there will only be Jesus to be spoken of. If my goal is Jesus, then Jesus is what it looks like when I get closer to my goal. Make sense? Good. Good. All right. Now, once we have been emptied, because that's what Jesus did for us, His fullness allows our yuckiness, our sin, to be emptied. But once I have been emptied, there is a process. Now that I have been everything, now that it is possible for God to dwell here, because Jesus' sacrifice took away all my sin. Well, now I have a responsibility, and what I will find in my active pursuit of Christ is God filling me up with Him. My goal, of course, is to be so filled with God that there's no more room for me. To be so filled with God that His presence dwells in me at such a point that I'm... It's all God. There's no room for Moses in the tabernacle because the tabernacle is filled with the presence of God. There's no room for the priests in the temple because the temple is filled with the presence of God. We call Him Jesus, but in His body there was only room and He was completely filled with the presence of God. And as a follower of Jesus, what is my desire? What is my goal? What is my purpose? I'm already saved. I'm already forgiven. I am in heaven with Him. So my goal now here is to be completely filled with Him. So I've been cleansed, I've been emptied out, I've been washed out. Okay, so what do I do? Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So now that we have seen what Jesus has done, let's figure out how we're going to get a little closer to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go down to verse 20. 2 Timothy 2:20. Now, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable. Any Christians in the house? Excellent. One. I'm getting there. I'm getting closer. As Christians, we have been cleansed from our sins. Done. Past tense. Done. That's what Paul's talking about here. If you have been cleansed from what is done, what do we do now? He doesn't leave us hanging. I love it. 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. All right, so we have gone through the emptying process. You and I said, I accept the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for my sins. I understand that I can't do anything to forgive myself, to cleanse myself. It has to be done to me. It has to be done for me. And I put my faith 100% in the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, so that I can become a vessel that is fit for God's work. Now, what do I do with this vessel? I fill it. I fill it each and every day. I want the fullness of God. It's now possible for the fullness of God to dwell in me just as it did the tabernacle, the temple, and Jesus. That's my goal. Only God, none of me. Only God, none of me. Because you and I all know what it looks like when it's me. It's a mess, right? I get in God's way. How many times did you get in God's way this week? Fair question, right? Not a happy answer, but probably a fair question. How many times do you and I get in the way of God having His way in our lives? Oh. We don't like to think about that. Yeah, I remember that opportunity this week. I should have talked to that. Oh, the Spirit was tugging at my heart. The Lord was telling me, hey, this is a good time to bring me up in this conversation. And I went, or I made a decision in treating someone, and maybe I needed to meet their needs instead of my own, and something inside of me, I was tired, I was selfish, I was something. It wasn't God, it was me. And I said, someone else will take care of that. I need to look out for me today. I need to take care of my needs. And so there was a little less of God, and there was some of me. Again, we fight this every day, right? We do. We do. But our goal, what we are actively pursuing, we are forgetting what is behind. I'm not going to bring up the shame of last week. I'm going to remember it to teach me a lesson, but I'm not going to feel shame. Why? Because sin and shame have been nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. My debt has been paid. So all I'm doing here is filling my life with all that God has to offer and all that He is. I've seen it perfectly in the life of Jesus Christ, and that's what I want. God has given me a body. Guess what, church? All of you sitting here, God has given you a body. And we come together to offer Him up worship. And, you know, so often we just like to ask ourselves, what does God really want from my life? What does God really want from me? What's His direction for me? What's my purpose? Church, our purpose is to get out of the way and be filled with Him so that wherever we go and wherever He leads us, His will is done. It's called His kingdom, His rule in our lives that brings light and grace and love and joy and peace wherever we go. Filled with Him, not of me. Now, if you're still on the fence, if maybe you're trying to ride, you know, the middle line, and you're saying, well, you know, I like a little bit of Jesus, but I still like me. I mean, I want to keep some of me. I mean, because when He made me, I mean, let's be honest, He did a pretty decent job. I mean, if I do say so myself, He was on His game when He made me. So I'm going to keep some of me, right? I'm going to just keep some of me. Well, Jesus Himself gives us a warning of what it looks like to remain neutral, to not be completely filled with God. And you know this. Tony's told you this story before. You know this, but we probably need to see a little clearly. Turn over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, Jesus shows us what it's like if you think, oh, well, I'm going to receive the sacrifice of Jesus and I'm going to let Him clean me all out so I can just be me without the guilt. I'll just be me without the direction. I'll just be me without worrying about anything that I've ever done in the past, and I'll just be me. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus gives a really good warning about that idea. Go down to verse 24. Luke 11, 24, Jesus says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, okay? When a person is saved, when a person is forgiven, when all of the evil within us has been cleaned out, fresh Christian, new Christian, okay? I'm no longer under the rule of the enemy. I am no longer a part of Satan's kingdom. I am now a part of Jesus' kingdom. That's what Jesus is talking about. When you're at that point, now listen up. The evil spirit passes through waterless places seeking rest. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't cease to exist. The evil's still there. That spirit that dwelled in you has been kicked out because there's a new ruler of the house. But that evil is still existing. You and I live our faith in a place where evil exists. Anybody experience that this week? Whew. We got to get out more, church. Of course you did. You know this to be true. They're floating all around. They're dwelling in a lot of people. There's a lot of houses that are completely filled with evil. But when evil has been cleansed from this vessel, that evil goes out. That evil goes out through waterless places seeking rest. It wants a home. It wants a safe place to be. And guess what? We're the target. Humanity is the target. And finding none, it says, well, I'll return to my house from which I came. I got booted out because, you know, Jesus came in and did his work. I'm going to go back in and just see what's going on. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Okay, so Jesus is describing a situation where a person has come to him and they have been forgiven of all their sins. Their life is clean. It's without guilt. It's without sin. It is all nice and tidy and empty. Ooh, and that evil spirit is excited. That evil spirit is excited to find their past home all cleaned up. And what does that evil spirit do? Yeah. And that evil spirit's not happy to come back alone, is it? No. No. Chris, we do our deepest cleaning for who? Company, right? We do our deepest cleaning for company because I can look at the mess and go, yeah, whatever. Oh, company's coming? We got a deadline. I got to sweep it up. I got to clean. I got to dust. I got to vacuum. I got to get ready for company. This house is going to be filled, so I'm going to prepare it. The house was cleaned. The evil spirit comes back and goes, okay, well, it's clean. It's party time. And what does that evil spirit do? Well, Jesus tells us. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. I want Jesus to take away my sin, but I don't want Jesus to now rule my new righteous, holy life. Not a good plan. You can't have one without the other. Jesus tells you exactly what will happen. I got my sins forgiven. I was washed in the blood. And now, I'm just going to remain neutral. And we'll just see what comes. If you don't fill the house with the right kind of party, then a party's going to show up that you do not want there. Seven spirits more evil than the first. And whew, what that person's life looks like when they did not fill their vessel with the presence of God, now that they have been swept up, cleansed, and emptied, it's worse than before they started. Because first, they were just wrestling with one evil spirit. Now, how many evil spirits do they have? Now they got eight. And that evil spirit said, I'm going to get some good ones. Because I'm just a little evil spirit. I'm just a spirit that just tells some white lies. I'm just a spirit that just cheats a little bit. But man, my friends, woo! They know how to party. I'm bringing them back with me. Church, we cannot remain spiritually neutral. There's no such thing as spiritual neutrality. Sorry. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as agnosticism, atheism. It doesn't exist. Again, it's a lie. It's a lie. But there's also not going to be empty vessels for very long. You and I actively pursue Christ by filling our lives with what is good. We actively pursue by actively filling with what is good. Because you and I are going to be filled. None of us has a house because anyone, you bought a house. As soon as you go in and you buy a house, and what do? Oh, the bed would look great over there. Oh, we need a new couch. We got a new house. We got to get a new couch. Couch is going to go right over here. That wall's kind of empty. We got to get this great art, this design. And what do? Wherever we live, we fill the space. We all know this to be true. And this is really, Chris read for us in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to close out there this morning. This is really the impetus of Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's go there and we'll wrap it up. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's writing to the church and just in the middle of, I love this. He just breaks out and just stops and he has to pray for him. And he just says, look, here's what I need God to do for you. And so Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, he says, look, I am on my knees for you to our Father. And what does he say? He says, I am praying that you will be strengthened by the Spirit. And I am praying that the words he uses, what are the parameters? The height, the depth, the breadth. He says, I want you to know just how great God's love is. I want you to know this, okay? How many times do you and I stumble because we don't know or we forget how much God loves us? No, I messed up. God's not really in love with me today. What? What? Do you really think what you could do can separate you from God's love? Uh-uh. No. No, I believe Paul had a verse about that, right? I'm convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing. 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 Nothing makes Jesus love you less. You can reject his love, but nothing makes Jesus love you less. Nothing. Nothing. So when the enemy comes in and goes, yeah, you really think he loves you? You really think Jesus loves you right now? Ugh. I saw you this morning. You really think Jesus loves you right now? And you and I go, no, probably not. I'm a disappointment. I'm unlovable. Who are you listening to? It's not Jesus. It's not Jesus. So the Apostle Paul says, look, I want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want you to know just how big God's love for you is every single moment of your life. Hey, kids, raise your hand if you ever got in trouble by your parents. Good. Now we're finally getting some honesty. Guess what? You messed up, right? You did something you weren't supposed to, and you got in trouble. Did your parents stop loving you? No. You got in trouble because they do love you. That's right. You got in trouble because your parents love you enough that they want you to turn out to be a good person. That's why you get in trouble. Guess what would happen if they didn't love you? They'd just leave you alone. They would just leave you alone. Any of our kids have any kids at school that don't know how to act right? You got any friends that don't know how to act right? Oh, sorry. Do you have any siblings that don't know how to act right? I didn't phrase that correctly. We all know what it looks like when kids don't know how to act right? Because someone's not there helping them. That's a scary place to be. That's a scary place to be. But you and I know the greatness of His love, and here's the pleroma. In Ephesians chapter 3, go down to verse 18. That we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul says, guess what? It even takes strength to understand how much God loves you. Well, why would that take strength? Because the enemy is there every day going, poke, 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 poke. You're worthless. You're a sinner. You're a loser. You can't do it right. You messed up again. Nobody wants you. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. You are horrible. That's a tough place to be, isn't it? And it takes strength to stand up to the enemy and say, what are you talking about? I'm not listening to that mess. God loves me. God will never stop loving me. God loves me so much that He sent His Son Jesus, who had not done anything wrong, to come down here and be completely filled with Your presence. And that perfect Jesus went to the cross and died there to pay the price for all the bad that I have done. You're going to look at me and tell me I am not loved? I know how much I am loved. Jesus died for me. And I'm not taking that lightly. So I'm not listening when you creep up and try to tell me that I am not loved. I know how much I am loved. May I have the strength to never, never, never forget it. That's what Paul says. You got to be strong. You got to be strong when the enemy comes in and tries to tell you that nobody loves you, that God doesn't love you. Look at your life. It's so tough right now. God doesn't care about you. He sure does. And so I will look to Jesus, because Jesus is 100% filled to the brim with the presence of God. And that's where I want to be. I don't want anything left over that can be tripped up by the enemy. I don't want any part of my life that is not giving glory to God. I want to be 100% filled with the presence of God. That's my goal. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not made complete. I'm still stumbling. I'm still struggling. I still have my days. I want them to be fewer and further between, but I still have a hard time sometimes, and so do you. So what do? We trust God. Our strength is in Him. It's not in us. We are filled with His Spirit, not our own, because my spirit's of the flesh, and the flesh is just poking at me and kicking at me and jabbing me in the side, and it plays dirty and tries to convince my mind to believe things that are not true about me. So I have to constantly go back and hear the voice of my Father say, I love you. How many times do I have to say it? Apparently another one. I need to hear it again. And so I go to where He's speaking, and what do I hear? I hear Him say over and over, I love you. Okay, all right, I get it. You love me. But how much do you love me? And God says, I, John 3:16, love you. Okay. I get it. And here it is. To know, verse 19, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Pleroma. Paul is saying, church, I want you to know all the love that God has for you, and I want your life to be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to get out of the way and all the good that God has to give. I want you to be filled with that. I want you to trust God so much that you will trust God as much as Jesus trusted the Father. I want you to face your imminent death by looking up and saying, hey, Lord, my spirit, my life, it's in your hands. Whatever happens to me, so be it. I know who I have my trust in, and I know that you will not disappoint. I know that your love will not let me down. And so whatever pain or suffering or struggling or weakness that I have, Father, I give that to you, because I know where this story ends. This story ends with me in your wonderful presence. This story ends with Jesus coming back, and whether I'm alive or whether my body, my vessel has already just spent up its days, I know that the voice that I'm going to hear is yours. And that voice is going to say to me, hey, good job. You did it. Let's go. And that's my goal. And that's all I want. And that's all that matters. And so I'm going to be filled with the presence of God. I am going to be filled with the fullness of God. Church, every day is a chance for honorable use. Your sins have been paid for. You have been washed clean and removed of all the bad. And every day is an opportunity for you to be used for honorable things to bring glory to God. Today is a part of every day. Let's get to it. Actively pursuing by being filled with the fullness of God. Do not settle for the faith you had last week. It's not good enough. Do not settle for the faith you had last year. It's not good enough. That's where we got this whole idea from. Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul himself said, here's how I do it. I forget what's behind me and I press on. I actively pursue. I do not sit in my hands. I do not say, well, I'm good enough. There's enough God in me. No, there's not. There's not, because you can always fit some more. You can always fit some more. Every situation you experience this week will be an opportunity to be filled with the fullness of God. And church, when you and I start being filled with the fullness of God, guess what the world is going to see? We're on the same page now, right? They're going to see God. They are going to see what the fullness of God looks like filling up the flesh. They're going to see Jesus. I mean, they may use your name, but they're going to see Jesus. That's our goal. That's our goal. So, okay, if your vessel has not been emptied and you are still filled with bleh, the Bible calls it sin, but it's bleh. If you need to have your vessel cleansed, if you need to accept the gift that Jesus did for you on Calvary, then we invite you to come and be washed, born again, cleansed of all of that in baptism with Him. And if you are a vessel that has been cleansed and you are feeling the fire of eight demons, enough. Enough. Or if you're sitting here this morning and you're trying to remain spiritually neutral and having some of God and some of you, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So church, let's be faithful. Let's be completely filled. What's the Greek word today? Pleroma. Pleroma. Filled completely. That's all we want. So if you need to respond for anything, we invite you to come this morning.